Hello, welcome to the Rethink Your Understanding podcast, where we dive deep into transformative insights on leadership, agile, lean, DevOps, value stream management, and flow engineering. I'm your human host, Phil Clark. I've been leading technology teams for over two decades in both eras of software delivery. In each episode, the AI-generated hosts dive into key concepts and insights from my articles and blog posts. While this conversation is generated by AI, there may be occasional errors or misinterpretations that differ slightly from the original material. Join me as we explore and improve our understanding of digital transformation. I hope this inspires you to read the original article and reach out to me to collaborate. You will find a link to the article in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, rate, and follow us on your podcast provider of choice. Your support helps us reach more listeners, and every review counts. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking content, and thanks for being part of our podcast experiment and journey. This episode, Beyond Frameworks, reflects on the challenges of leading large-scale, agile, and DevOps transformations, even within successful organizations. It argues that despite adopting new structures and frameworks, persistent friction arises from diverging leadership philosophies and superficial sense of alignment, leading to transformation fatigue. The AI hosts share my personal experiences and insights from over a decade, highlighting that real transformation takes ongoing effort, fresh thinking, and a commitment to maintaining a shared mindset, especially during leadership changes. The conversation connects with another article that underscores the necessity of genuine leadership trust for team autonomy to succeed, suggesting that erosion of trust contributes to ongoing friction. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're digging into a really insightful article today that you shared called Beyond Frameworks, The Real Weight of Leading Transformation at Scale. It's by Phil Clark from his site RethinkYourUnderstanding.com.
That's right. And if you check out his site, you'll see he often just goes by Phil. He shares a lot of great thinking there.
Absolutely. So our mission here is to unpack the core ideas from this piece. It's all about the nitty-gritty of leading big changes, even when things, seem to be going okay on the surface.
Yeah, we want to pull out the key insights for you, especially around this idea of persistent friction Phil talks about.
Yeah.
And what the main takeaways are.
Exactly. And just a heads up, while we're mainly focusing on this article, we might touch on some related stuff Phil's written about.
Definitely. But for the full context, really, you should check out the complete article. It's over on RethinkYourUnderstanding.com. It's worth the read.
Okay, so let's jump in. What's the first thing that jumps out from Phil's piece?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of talk about transformation struggles focuses on stalled projects, right? Things just grinding to a halt.
Mm-hmm. Failure stories.
Exactly. But Phil takes a different angle. He looks at situations where transformation is actually seen as successful, frameworks are humming along, but there's still this undercurrent, this friction.
Okay, so not outright failure, but something else.
Yeah. He argues that the real fatigue often comes from something subtler. It's like this gradual, almost invisible erosion of alignment among the leaders over time.
Even when they think they're aligned.
Precisely. They might all nod in meetings, use the same buzzwords, but underneath, their core understanding or commitment starts to drift apart.
That makes sense. I think I've seen that. So he connects this to trust, right? I remember you mentioning William-Jan Ageling's point about autonomy needing trust.
He does. Phil poses this really crucial question. Mm-hmm. What actually happens when that leadership trust starts to fray? Not because of some big disaster, but because of this constant low-level friction that crops up even during successful change.
It's a great question because it shifts the focus from, did the framework work, to are the leaders really on the same page deep down?
Right. And he's not trying to bash any organization here, including his own, which he uses for examples. It's more about acknowledging that leading change is just inherently complex.
So it's a fundamental challenge, even if you're doing a lot of things right.
That's the core idea. Even with the best frameworks, if those leadership beliefs diverge, you're going to hit turbulence.
To make this concrete, Phil talks about his own organization's journey, doesn't he? A decade-long transformation.
Yeah, and he's clearly proud of it, calls it industry-leading in many respects. I mean, think about that, 10 years.
That's a serious commitment. What kind of changes did they make?
Well, they moved from legacy systems and ways of working to genuinely empowered product-focused teams, you know, aiming for real value delivery.
Modernizing the tech, changing the operating model, the whole nine yards.
Pretty much. Adopted advanced practices, the kind lots of companies are still reaching for.
But here's the kicker, right? He says it's not a one-and-done thing.
Exactly. That's crucial. He stresses that transformation isn't a project you finish. It's a system you have to constantly nurture, and maybe even more, a mindset you have to defend.
Defend against what?
Against, you know, new pressures, leadership changes, strategic shifts, all the things that can subtly undermine the progress you've made and cause that misalignment to creep back in.
Okay, so that brings us to this misalignment issue. You said it's often subtle.
Yeah, that's a key point Phil makes. It's not always shouting matches. It can be this quiet drift where people aren't really sharing the same deep understanding of the goals or maybe how to get there.
He used that phrase, superficial sense of agreement. I like that.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, leaders agree verbally, but then their actions, maybe a comment here or a decision there, reveal they're actually coming from a different place.
So the takeaway there is, watch the actions, not just the words in the meeting.
Definitely. That's where you see the real alignment, or the lack of it.
But Phil doesn't see these moments as just failures, right?
No, and this is really valuable. He frames them as opportunities. Like, okay, we've surfaced a disconnect. Let's use this moment to rethink, reconnect, and improve. It's about learning.
A much more productive way to look at it than just getting frustrated.
For sure. Okay, so then there's the scaling challenge. How does growth play into this?
Yes, the amplifier effect.
Exactly. Growth doesn't just scale your successes. It also blows up your weaknesses, right? Any cracks in that leadership philosophy become much more visible, more problematic.
And that's where the systemic fatigue sets in. It's not just one team anymore.
That's his point. When the leadership's fundamental beliefs about how things should work start diverging across a larger organization, it creates this deep-seated drag.
Have you seen that happen, where you have to keep explaining the basic?
Oh, yeah. And Phil shares his own experience of that, having to repeatedly justify decisions or principles that he thought were, like, settled years ago.
The energy drain on that must be immense.
Totally. Especially when new execs come in, or stakeholders change, or the company pivots strategy, you're constantly relitigating the fundamentals.
He gives some specific examples of this friction, doesn't he? That helps make it real.
He does. One was about a new tech leader who came in with a, let's say, more traditional view of Agile, more top-down, functional oversight, centralized control.
Which clashed with their existing model.
Right. They'd built their approach around autonomous, cross-functional teams. Think team topologies, team of teams, really different philosophies about empowerment.
So it wasn't about Agile itself being bad, but how it was being interpreted and led.
Precisely. It highlights how leadership philosophy shapes the implementation of any framework. That's a big one to watch for.
What other examples did he mention? There was something about metrics.
Ah, yes. The private equity firm introduced this idea of individual productivity units.
Oh, boy. Back to counting lines of code or something similar.
Kind of felt like that, yeah. It was a real step backward from their focus on value streams and outcomes. Luckily, they had already adopted value stream management and flow metrics.
So they could push back with data.
Exactly. They could show why focusing on team flow and outcomes was more valuable than tracking individual outputs. But it took effort, you know, constant vigilance.
It shows how external forces can really mess with your internal culture if you're not ready.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the product leader example.
The one who talked the talk about empowerment but didn't walk the walk.
That's the one. Verbally supportive, but kept very top-down structures. Product managers didn't have real autonomy. Roadmaps were dictated. Team training didn't happen effectively.
That rhetorical alignment masking the real situation. Classic.
And Phil mentions this clarifying moment after an acquisition. This same leader basically implied Phil's tech leadership wasn't that critical for certain operational decisions.
Wow, after years of apparent collaboration.
Yeah. It just brought the underlying disconnect right out into the open. And Phil realized that that kind of thing, navigating that illusion of alignment, was actually more exhausting than open arguments.
That makes a lot of sense. The constant second guessing, the feeling you're not on solid ground.
It's draining. And he points out, well, he's written about these kinds of tensions before on RethinkYourUnderstanding.com, articles about mindsets, flow metrics, leadership friction. So it's been on his mind for a while.
It shows it's not just about tools and processes, is it? It's deeply about the people and their core beliefs.
Fundamentally, if those leadership mindsets aren't truly in sync, you get friction. Simple as that.
He also talked about changes after the acquisition, with a new leadership team having a different model.
Right. This new team had a different approach. Maybe more focus on embedded engineering managers, principal roles, individual career paths.
Again, not necessarily wrong, just different.
Exactly. Different from their established focus on cross-functional autonomy and outcomes. And reconciling those different assumptions, that just leads to more fatigue, a new wave of it.
It sounds like a relentless cycle sometimes.
You can feel that way. Which is why, interestingly, Phil mentions finding value in talking to other leaders externally.
At conferences and things, getting perspective.
Yeah, advisory boards, conferences. Hearing that these struggles, the friction, the misalignment aren't unique, it kind of grounds you, reminds you these are common challenges.
That validation is important, isn't it? Knowing you're not the only one hitting these walls.
Definitely. It helps you see the systemic patterns.
He also mentioned something, Phil Fridays. What was that about?
Yeah. It was an anecdote about how his conviction on certain principles gets, let's say, particularly strong sometimes.
Ah, standing his ground.
But he clarifies, it's not about ego. It comes from really caring about building high-performing teams, empowering people, you know, leaving things better than he found them. It's about the impact.
That underlying motivation is key, I think, for anyone leading tough changes.
Absolutely. And that connects to his take on the whole Agile's failing narrative you hear sometimes.
Right. He pushes back on that.
Strongly. He says, look, it's rarely the frameworks, Agile, DevOps, whatever, that are failing. It's the implementation and, crucially, the leadership.
So using Agile to just put lipstick on a command and control pig.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or reducing DevOps to just generating reports. He calls those leadership failures, not framework failures, which is a really important distinction.
It puts the responsibility back where it belongs on how leaders create the environment.
Exactly. You need genuine commitment to the principles, not just going through the motions.
Okay. So he also laid out some specific triggers for this friction, like a top five list.
Yeah. His top five triggers of leadership friction. Really useful to think about. Things like leadership turnover or strategy shifts that devalue the transformation work.
Okay.
Conflicting ideas about ownership, like empowerment versus centralized control, introducing metrics that contradict autonomy.
The individual productivity units example.
Right. Then there's that rhetorical alignment issue we talked about, saying one thing, doing another. And finally, just the act of scaling itself, which stretches consistency.
And all these triggers just get worse as the organization grows.
That's the danger. More people, more assumptions flying around that might not actually be shared. If you don't actively manage that alignment, things can really grind down.
So wrapping this up, what are the main lessons Phil wants us to take away from his experience from the article?
Well, I think the big one is that leading transformation isn't about picking a framework and being done. It's a continuous process. It requires constantly re-examining beliefs, your own and your team's.
And accepting that the friction and fatigue, they're just part of the job.
Yeah, pretty much. See them as inherent, not as signs you're failing. Focus on progress, not some mythical perfect end state.
And what about the leadership itself?
It comes down to consistently showing up, holding the line on core principles, but also really listening to understand different perspectives, learning constantly, but still advocating for the path you believe in.
Transparency and honesty seem key too. Acknowledging misalignment instead of pretending it's not there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Prioritize asking questions and truly listening over just assuming everyone's on board.
So bringing it all together then, the real weight Phil talks about isn't just implementing the frameworks.
No, it's the ongoing, often unseen effort of keeping leaders aligned, navigating those different philosophies. That's the heavy lifting, especially at scale, even when things look okay from the outside.
It's a powerful reminder that transformation is fundamentally human work. It's about minds and beliefs as much as tools and processes.
Couldn't agree more. And Phil's insights here are so valuable for anyone in the thick of organizational change. Definitely check out the full article and his other work on rethinkyourunderstanding.com.
For sure. Okay, so maybe a final thought for our listeners to chew on based on all this.
How about this? Thinking about your own world, your own experiences. What are maybe some of those subtle signs that leadership alignment might be eroding? And more importantly, what are some concrete, proactive steps you could take to build a deeper, more resilient, shared understanding?
That's a great question to reflect on. Thanks for digging into this with us today.
My pleasure. Lots to think about.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for joining this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.